And how many times has that occurred in our life? When God speaks, we fail to trust Him. And I'm going to bring some things out this morning to hopefully help us. And we'll be in Genesis chapter 3. And we'll look at verses 1 through 19. God speaks and we fail to trust Him. Genesis 3. And we'll look at verses 1 through 19. Go with me to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we just thank You for today. Thank You, Lord, that it's a celebration time to celebrate and song and worship the Lord as we've already done. And the songs that we sing, God, that are uplifting and motivating the Lord. And God, in with Jameson, I can only imagine. God, I can only imagine today what is going on around the throne of God. What is going on up in heaven, God? And it only takes our mind back, the Lord, that when we get there, Father, will we be able to even stand at all? Will we bow down, the Lord? What will we be doing when we see Your face? God, I can only imagine when that day takes place and when that time takes place that we are gathered home or around the throne of God and to see and experience the excitement and what's going on there. Lord, it can only lead our minds to imagine this morning. And God, I pray this morning that You'll anoint me, the Lord, that You'll anoint the reading of Your Word. God, that You would anoint it. God, it's Your Word, and that Your Word would go forward, God, that it would accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to You. God, that Your Word would say like it does in Hebrews, the Lord, that it would cut where it needs to cut. God, it would pierce where it needs to pierce. It would challenge our lives, the Lord, that we won't be the same as what we walked in here as. But God, we will be different. God, we will be refreshed, revived, and renewed, and excited about doing Your will and Your way and Your work, the Lord, that You have desired for us to carry out. God, we thank You for Your Word. God, we pray that You bind up Satan, God, and his demons in opposition, the Lord, during this time. God, bind them up and keep them at bay, the Lord. Keep them away. And let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our hearts and lives today. God, open up our minds. God, open up our eyes. Open up our ears. Open up our heart, God, that we can receive Your Word and apply Your Word to our life. God, it's Your Word and it's precious, the Lord. And God, I pray that we handle it in a precious way. And God, that we will accept it as a gift from You. God, help us today as we read Your Word. Anoint it, God. It's Your Word. And God, we pray for Your anointing on it. Father, let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit have freedom to move today. God, we're going to thank You. We give this service to You. We dedicate it to You, God. It's Your service, God. You take control. And God, we're going to thank You for blessing the reading of Your Word. We pray Your blessings on it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 says this. Says, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast, meaning cunning, meaning he was swift, he was shrewd, man, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. We're going to get back to that because this is a doubt and this is Satan questioning the Word of God. And how many times do we question the Word of God and where does it lead to us? And it says, Satan says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And here it goes again. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, questioning the authority of God's word. For God doeth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that her tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Passing the buck. Amen. Passing the buck. The men already sitting here blaming the women for everything. Amen. That's a part of my message. When are we going to take ownership for what we do? I love it. I've done seen some women tapping on the husbands right now. Some men in here going to have some sore ribs this morning. And and it's saying in there, it's saying, you know, the woman, it said, and the woman that thou gavest me, she's the one that told me to eat of this thing. And in verse 10 says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden again, and thou was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. Verse 11, he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, and when I went back there, I want you to know, God spoke it. God said it. It was a commandment of the Lord. So not only, you know, should the man be enticed by the woman or the woman be enticed by the man, God's word says you shouldn't do it. Eat away. Amen. Says it's in doing. Verse 12 says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said what? The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Passed the buck on to the serpent. Passed it on to the devil there. You know, the devil made me do it. That's where that old saying got from. You ever heard that? The devil made me do it. Amen. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thank the Lord for Eve's sinning, ladies. That's the reason you have so much birthing pains and delivering children today. Thank your mother Eve for that. Amen. Y'all, we got... I'm done right now. I will sit down and be just like y'all today. We are in the house of God. Amen. We are reading God's word. Amen. Are you excited about being saved this morning? Say amen. Bless God, I'm reading God's word. What are you reading? Huh? Are y'all not following along with me up there on the screen? I know Miss Nina about there wicking her fingers to the bone, throwing it up there. Are y'all following with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Say, I love God's word. Then I'm going to respond to God's word. And I'm going to wake up for the rest of the message. Amen. If y'all not, I'm coming down again and you ain't going to like it the next time. I got some rotten eggs up here. I'm going to start throwing. Amen. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Say amen. And it said, and women, are you with me? With verse 16, are you with me? Did you hear what I said? Unto the women, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thank you, Mother Eve. Amen.
Amen.
That's where your birthing pain comes from. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, now we're on track. Amen. Praise God. And the desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I knew I'd get amens on that one. And it said, and unto Adam, he said, it's about time y'all woke up, men and women, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Men, thank your father Adam for sinning, because that's the reason you got to work by the sweat of your brow. Amen. You had to work to keep it up. So God speaks, and God speaks, and we fail to trust him. I thought about this. Before Adam and Eve ever ate of the fruit of the garden, my friends, they had already sinned in their heart. Before they ever ate of the fruit of the garden, they had already sinned in their heart. They had already made a decision in their heart, my friend. And that is where evil is deceived from. That's where it comes from. In the heart, it's already had sinned in the heart to partake of that fruit and partake of the tree before they ever ate of it. It was conceived in their hearts. They failed to trust God. They failed to take him at his word. His word was given to them. His word was plain. He made it plain to them that they should not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. They shouldn't partake of it, my friends. His word was plain and it was wrote down and spelled out to them. Through God himself, God had a relationship with mankind and womankind in the garden. He dealt with them on a personal basis. He gave them his word, my friend, and they went against God's word. They disobeyed that. And his goodness, they disobeyed, causing them to act in their own wisdom and desires, leading to disobedience and death in their life, my friends. And when we act upon our own disobedience, when we act upon our own desires, that's when trouble comes about. That's when trouble comes about. When we take God's word and we cast it aside and we say it doesn't matter what God's word said. It doesn't matter what the book says. My friend, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, regardless of what the word of God says. That's when we get into trouble. That's when we get into trouble, when we try to do it our own way. When we try to fix it and we try to take and do things in our own way and become in control of our lives. When we do that, my friends, is when we get in trouble. It's when we get in trouble and we set ourselves up for failure. We set ourselves up to be duped by Satan. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. Oh, if you're taking notes, number one, we fail to trust God by questioning his word. We fail to trust God by questioning his word. When you look back there and you see in verse 1 and 2, look back there with me. It said in verse 1 and 2, it says, now the serpent was most subtile, meaning cunning, meaning he was shrewd, he was crafty. It says he was most subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, yea, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Listen to me. Through Adam, my friend, and Eve, they did not need help. My friend, disobeying God. They did not need help in conceiving in their heart to eat the fruit of the tree which God told them not to. But understand something, they had help and his name was Satan. And Satan led them astray, my friends. And understand something, you and I face the same thing today. We face the same thing today. Satan knows exactly what to put in your path and my path to get us off of balance. God, he knows exactly what to put in our path to make us go astray, my friends. And it's the same thing he did from the beginning in Adam and Eve, and he hasn't stopped today. He knows exactly what to put in your path, my friend, to entice you, to get you to sin. Oh, listen to me. They didn't need no help, my friend, questioning God's word. But Satan was there, and Satan is the father of lies, my friend. And he will tell you anything and everything to tell you, to get you caught up in a snare, to get you, my friend, pulled away from God. And then guess what happens? Once he gets you there, he drops you. Then he leaves you. Once he makes and wreaks havoc in your life and gets you to that point, he drops you and leaves you. My friend, once he gets there and causes destruction, devastation, and things of that in your life, he begins to leave you. He walks away from you, my friend. Satan is a real enemy and he's alive today. We need to understand that scripture says he's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's real. He's alive today, my friends. And you need to understand he's the enemy of God. He introduces doubt about the word of God. And when he introduces doubt into your mind and in your heart, my friend, then he begins to deceive you to the point where you want to question the authority of God's word. And my friend, that's where the doubt arises. And he plants that in there about the word of God. When you look back at verse 1 and you see in the last part of that, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said in the last part of verse 1. He's questioning the authority of God's word. He's placing doubt into Eve's mind. He's placing doubt into Adam's mind by questioning the authority of God's holy word. Oh, listen, doubt is responsibility for many devilish acts that we do today. It's doubting the word of God, doubting that God exists, doubting that God's word is true, that God is faithful. And my friend, doubt is responsible for those things. Who would not eat of the forbidden fruit? Who would not eat of the forbidden fruit must not go near the forbidden tree. Amen. If you doubt it, don't go to it. If you have a doubt about it, whether God's going to be in it or not, you better stay away from it. If you don't eat of the forbidden fruit, my friend, the way not to eat of the forbidden fruit is don't go to the forbidden tree. Don't go to the forbidden tree. That's where sin arises. You know, I like being in our office and listening to Brad and Steve teaching Sunday school lessons. I told Steve today, he was a preacher, man. He just needed a suit and tie. And he was going to town today, you know, talking about God's word and sin in our life and the choices that we made. And I was sitting there saying, amen, he done got a hold of my words again and preaching my message to the Sunday school class. But anyhow, you know, and we think about those things, but that doubt arises and Satan plants that doubt in there that we're to question God's word and doubt arises. Listen to me. God has spoken it and God's revelation is sufficient enough for me. God's word has spoken it and God's revelation is clear and sufficient enough for you and me, and we need to abide by it. Oh, he's given us all we need to know. He's given us all we need to know about love, about forgiveness. He's given us everything we need to know about compassion and concern and everything there is to know, my friend, to make it through life. God has given it to us in his word. He's given us everything that we need to worship him, to obey him. The question is, will you trust God and will you trust him at his word? Will you take God and trust him? And when you take him at his word, oh, his revelations are great. The first question is, do we read God's word, showing its authority over you and me? Do we read it? Do we get into it? Do we study it to understand it, to show that it's a God's authority that he has over your life and my life? Do we submit to the will of God? Do we submit to the word of God? Do we open it up and read it? And when we open up and read it, do we say, God, enlighten me so I can understand your word. God, empower me with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God, that you can empower me and indwell me with your spirit, that I can make it day by day, that I can be in the center of your will, that I can do what it is that you desired me to do. God, fill me with your power. Fill me with your love and compassion. Fill me with the desire to serve you, God. Fill me with your power. And God, give me an understanding. Enlighten me when I open up your word, that I can understand what I'm reading, that I can apply it to my life. When you open up God's word and you begin to read it, you need to pray, God, give me an understanding. God, give me an understanding of your word. God, when I open up your word to read it, God, give me an understanding of it. Give me an understanding so I can understand what it is. God, empower me with your power that I can make it day by day. Listen to me. You need to walk in the power of God, because without the power of God, you will be duped by Satan every day. You'll be duped by Satan every day if you don't walk in the power of God, my friends. He will rule and reign in your life. He would wreak havoc on your life. He'll bring about destruction in your life. My friend, you got to let God be in control of your life, my friend, so you don't get duped by Satan. Oh, not only that, we fail to trust God by questioning his word. But my friend, when you look back at verses 2 through 5, we fail to trust God by altering his word. We fail to trust God by altering his word. You say, what do you mean? We change his word to fit our lifestyle. All the other religions, they change the word to fit their religion. Change the word to fit their lifestyle. My friend, it's God's word and it don't need to be changed. And there's a danger in changing it. There's a danger in adding to it or taking away from it. It's God's word, my friend, and it's in the infallible word of God. And there is nothing that needs to be changed about it. There's nothing that needs to be changed about it. Oh, when you look in the word of God and we read that and you look back with me at verses 2 through 5, you're taking notes. We fail to trust God by altering his word. Look back at verse 2 through 5 with me. It said, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. We fail to trust God by altering his word. Satan began to question the authority of God's word. He began to change God's word and said, that's not really what it says. You eat of that fruit, you're surely not going to die. Physically, he knows you're not going to die. But he's talking about spiritually, your soul was going to die. And my friend, and when your soul dies and you go and ask unforgiveness for it, you spend the damnation in a place called hell. my friend. But he was questioning God's authority. He was altering God's word. Oh, surely, Miss Tina, surely you shall not die when you eat of that fruit of that tree. You're not going to die. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to play that card with you. And I'm going to convince you that fruit is good to eat. It's pleasing to your eyes. You're not going to die by taking that. And begin to entice you. Begin to alter God's word. Begin for you to believe that when you eat that fruit, you're not going to die. Matter of fact, you're going to be as a God. You're going to be as God. You're going to know good from bad now. You're going to know all about it when you eat of that tree. And he began to entice. He began to alter God's word, the word of God, in its quality and in its quantity of context. It's perfect. It needs nothing added to or nothing taken away. In the context of God's holy word, it is holy. It is an infallible word of God. There's nothing that needs to be added or taken away from it. It's exactly the way God intended for it to be for you and me to believe. It's exactly the way he printed it up for us to have, that we can trust him and read it. Oh, it doesn't need to be altered. Everything in the word of God is true and it's trustworthy. You could take that check to the bank and cash it, my friends, when it comes to the word of God. It is true. You can stand on it when it comes to the word. Oh, we alter the word of God by addition, as Satan did, or Eve or Adam did, or by subtraction. Demonstrates a lack of trust in God. Demonstrates a lack of trust in him. Oh, listen, either way, altering the word of God shows that we have a lack of trust in the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God's word. My friend, we don't alter it. We take it for what it says. We believe it. We preach it. We teach it. We act upon it. We live by it. We abide by it. It's God's word, my friend, and nothing needs to be changed. People who despise the truth usually desecrate its sacredness, and they are guilty of tampering and altering the word of God. They're guilty of tampering and altering the word of God. And God's word is not to be tampered with, touched, or altered. Oh, not only that, but my friend, you take notes, you look back at verse 5 and 6. We fail to trust God by disobeying his word. We fail to trust God by disobeying his word. You look back at verse 5 and 6. It says this. It says, "For God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as what? Gods." As I was saying, we're role playing with Miss Tina. Your eyes are going to be open and you shall be as gods, it says. Knowing what? Good and evil. It said, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to her eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Oh, the clearest evidence of our failure to trust God is disobedience to God's word. It's disobedience to God's word. And here Adam and Eve had a clear understanding of what God was telling them. And my friend, they disobeyed God's word. They had disobedience to God. They disobeyed God's word. They didn't believe in his authority, God's divine authority of his word. God gave them divine authority. He told them what not to do and what to do. And my friend, they chose to disobey God's divine word. They chose to disobey his authority. My friend, when you look at verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes of the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and thereof and did eat and gave her husband with her, and he did eat." And my friend, you see that this comes out to play. What happened, my friend? He started to play on the senses. He started to play on the senses. And most of the time with you and me, when our senses begin to get played with, is when we begin to get in trouble. It's called the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the touch, the hearing, the seeing, my friend. And when we begin to play around with the senses of our life, and my friend, if those senses are not under submission or power and subjection to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, we begin to get in trouble. We begin to get in trouble, my friend. Just as Eve gave to Adam, and he did eat, and you look over in verse 10, and God begins to question Adam and Eve. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden." This is Adam talking. "And I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said in verse 11, "Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" My friend, listen to me. Danny, didn't I tell you about something the other day? Didn't I ask you not to do a certain thing? And what did you do?
I didn't do it.
You went out and did exactly what I asked you not to do.
No, I
didn't. Yeah, you did.
Jameson did it.
You did it. No. When I left to go on vacation the other day, I gave you two guys specific instructions to do.
No, you didn't tell me.
I gave you specific instructions to do.
No, it was the woman that you sat next to me.
So you delegated it to Christy.
Yeah.
Christy, I know you're new and just joined the church and all that kind of stuff, but have you not learned who to deal with and who to be around? That there's certain individuals that you can't. My wife. Honey, you and I are going to have a serious talk about this message on the way home. You didn't take the advice and tell her that was passed on to Jameson and Danny when we went out of town?
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
It was Kelly.
Now it comes on down to the end of Kelly. And what's that y'all passing, by the way? It's a buck. Oh, I got it. So you a wise guy. You a wise guy. You took a dollar out and you gave it to Jameson. I was wondering what y'all was passing along. Now it's done got unwinded. So now it's down to a clear buck. So Kelly, what's up? Now you know that you were supposed to be in training in sessions for you and Adam to take on this worship stuff around here. And so what's the deal?
It was Adam. He did it.
Adam. Now it's Adam that did it. Yeah.
You can ride home with Tanya.
Yeah, amen. So it's Adam that did it. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Danny Wise guy got a buck out. It's my buck now. My dollar now. That's exactly, amen. That's exactly. It's exactly. That's classic. That's pretty good right there, Danny. That was pretty good, but you seen what happened, didn't you? Yeah, it passed the what? It passed the buck. So in verse 6, it says, and a woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to the desire to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and with her, and he did eat. And you get over to verse 11, and it said, and who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And look what happens in verse 12. And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and did eat. And so what did he do? The puck started passing, the blame started passing. Danny said it was Jameson. And Jameson said it was the woman you sat beside me. It was Christy. Christy said, no, it's Tanya. Tanya said, no, it's Kelly. Kelly said, no, it was Adam. And you're riding home with Tanya. Amen. You see that buck pass. It was passing the buck, my friend. And we do the same thing today. When we're in the hot seat and God begins to convict us and things in our life, well, Lord, no, it was that one. Oh, you know, you got the wrong person. Bunny said, oh, no, it's not me, it's Dave. Dave said, oh, no, it's Diane. It's going that way. But no, you passed the buck. And you know, and the thing is, folks, is we need to start taking ownership of our life. We need to start taking ownership of what we do. We got the clear word of God. We got what God said, and that's what Steve was saying in Sunday school class today. We got the Word of God. We know what we should do and not do. I've heard them talking about we were down paths that we knew that we shouldn't go down, but God redeemed you from that path. God redeemed you from that path, set you on the right track. Folks, we know what we ought to do. We know what we ought to be doing. Oh, listen to me. And you see, we fail to trust God by disobeying His word. Not only that, but we fail to trust God, which leads to despair. My friend, when you allow Satan to dupe you, and you allow Satan to lead you astray, my friend, all it does is lead to a life of despair. As I said, he's going to lead you astray, he's going to lead you there, and then he's going to drop you like a hot potato. He's going to drop you like a hot potato. And then all it does is leave you in a life of despair. It leaves you in a place that you don't want to be, a life of despair. Oh, listen to me. To be hopeless, the conscience pricked him. Who told thee that thou was naked? Who told thee? You know what sin did? Sin made a man a coward. Sin made man a coward way back in the beginning of Garden of Eden. My friend, listen, Adam passed the buck. Eve passed the buck. And instead of taking ownership, what does people tend to do? Run. 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 Why? Because we don't want to deal with the sin in our life. Maybe it's because we're liking it a little too much. Maybe it's because we're liking it a little too much and we don't want to give it up. Or maybe we're in the church and God begins to deal with us about something and we want to hold on to it a little bit and then we don't want to give it up right yet. But every time I come there, man, I hear Steve teaching a message or hear a teacher teaching a Sunday school lesson or hear the pastor preach a message and, man, it gets all over me. But I'm liking this a little too much and the next thing you know, they're disappeared. They're out there. Why? Because they're not under conviction when they're out there. They're not in the Word, and not in the church, and my friend, and then it begins to be easier for their lifestyle that they're living. And until finally, until they hit rock bottom in despair in their life, they find their way back. They find their way back, which could have saved them a whole lot of trouble if they would just have confidence and faith and trust in God's Word. Amen. Saved them a whole lot of trouble if they just had confidence and faith and trust in God's Word. Oh, listen to me. It led to that. Oh, listen. Oh, listen. When doubt is induced, my friend, man chose to run. When sin was induced, man run instead of dealing with it. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, but in the next one, we fail to trust God, which leads to degradation. We fail to trust God, which leads to degradation. Look at verse 12 and 13. It says this. It said, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the woman and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Oh, listen to me. Passing the buck is what you seen Danny and Jameson and them doing was passing the buck. And I'm telling you, people still do that today. People are still passing the buck today. My friend, we need to stop passing the buck and take ownership and be convicted of what God wants us to do. Not only that, but in the last thing, we fail to trust God, which ultimately leads to death. Look at verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Oh, listen to me, my friends, death. Death comes about by the way of sin, by the way of disobedience of God. In Romans 6:23, my friend, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said this in the homegoing of Miss Catherine yesterday. For the wages of sin is death. As you looked at verse 19, we were created out of dust, and dust shall we return, my friends. And listen to me, listen to me. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou shalt return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and in dust thou shalt return. And then you go back to Romans, and you look at that verse again. It said, for the wages of sin is what? Death. That death that it's talking about there is eternal separation from God. An eternal separation from Him. But God didn't intend that way for you and me. God didn't intend hell and death for mankind. He intended it for the angel, the Satan and a third of the fallen angels that tried to overtake the throne of God. He says in the scripture that He would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But understanding one thing, my friend, for the wages of sin is death. Wages is what we earn. Wages. When you have a job, you earn a wage to make a living. Wages in your life has earned us death. That death is an eternal separation from God. But thank God He offered a gift. But the gift of God, that gift of God for you and me is Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of our life. That gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to be duped. You don't have to live a life of defeat. You don't have to live a life in despair. You can live a life victorious as a Christian today because Jesus is victorious, because He arose over death, hell, and the grave. You and I live a life that is victorious. Just as He arose, one day we'll arise. As I was around the graveside with Miss Catherine and the family, I told them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when that verse talks about one day there's going to be a shout, a voice of an archangel, a trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain until His coming shall be called up together with them to be in the sky, to be in the air with the Lord forever. And it says, wherefore, comfort one another with them words. I can find comfort in that, knowing that what I've done with Jesus in this life is going to make an eternal difference when I get to heaven. It's going to make an eternal difference in what we do if you accept that. that. You accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. You accept that free gift of eternal life, my friend, that he gives us. Oh, listen to me. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us eternal life. My friend, we don't have to be duped by Satan. We don't have to be duped like Adam and Eve were. You don't have to listen to the spirit of the devil. You don't have to listen to Satan. My friend, that's the reason I tell you all the time to be prayed up, to be studied up before you ever get out of bed at night, to submit your body to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to submit your senses to him, your hands, your touch, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, my friend. Submit your whole body unto the presence and the power and the authority of God, because the moment your feet hit the floor, you're going to face Satan himself. He's going to try to dupe you. He's going to try to ruin your life, bring despair and destruction upon you. My friend, that's the reason every day you need to wake up and submit yourself to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to be able to make it through that day. Oh, listen to me. Troubles might come. Things are going to happen. Things are going to come in your life. But when you're filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's on your side, it makes it a little bit easier to deal with when you wake up in the morning submitting yourself to him. Oh, listen to me. You might be here. Some of these things that we talked about today with Adam and Eve might be applied to your life. My friend, listen to me. As I said, sin made man a coward. When sin comes into man's life, the first thing man wants to do is run out the door on God. Oh, listen, what God wants you to do is confess it, as 1 John 1:9 says, confess it to him, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to restore a relationship with you. God and Jesus himself are looking to be intimate with you. They want a personal relationship with you, but sin in our life hinders that relationship with the Lord. Get it out of there, my friend, and live a life of victory. Live a life of joy. Live a life of peace in the Lord. And you can when you give him your all, when you give him your life. Oh, listen, you may not be saved here today. I don't know. I don't know what your condition is. But my friend, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, if you've never called upon Jesus and invited him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, you come. I share with you in God's word what he says you must do to be saved. Oh, maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. We would love for you to be and make your family of God here. I'd love to be your pastor. Just love to be your family of God. Maybe you need to come pray about something. Maybe you want me to pray with you. Come on. This is your time. This is what the altars are for. This is what I'm here for. You do business with Almighty God today.